This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The case of the vanishing Walmarts of Chicago. I'm David Brancaccio. On Sunday, Walmart will close half of its stores in the city of Chicago. The retailer said that collectively its stores in America's third largest city are not profitable, with an annual losses that have nearly doubled over 5 years. Walmart has recently closed stores in other cities. This includes Albuquerque, D.C., and Portland, Oregon. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes has more.
There's this fact about Walmart. 90% of Americans live within 10 miles of one of its stores. But CB Insights analyst Laura Kennedy points out,
Walmart's foundation and home base has never been in cities.
She says lots of customers go to Walmart for the groceries, and the company's hoping they'll stay to pick up twinkle lights, scented candles, a sloth mask. And in cities?
You're just going to have less square footage to spread that all out across.
Customers are also more likely to arrive on foot and can only buy as many twinkle lights as they can physically carry. Mark A. Cohen is director of retail studies at Columbia Business School.
The basket size is smaller. Customers don't fill up the back of an SUV coming out of an urban store. They grab a couple of items and they leave.
Cohen says that many big box retailers have struggled in cities where operational costs are often higher, and it makes sense for stores to close if they're not making money. But they still leave a hole behind when they're gone. Ellen Dunham-Jones is a professor of architecture at Georgia Tech, who's also done consulting for Walmart.
If it's just a little business, it's still a loss of some of the soul of that neighborhood. And when it's a really large store that meets a lot of one's needs, that's a really big hole.
Dunham-Jones says the loss of access to food and pharmacies is especially hard, particularly in low-income urban neighborhoods where it might not be easy for people to get to the nearest store, even if it's still less than 10 miles away. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
Overall, retail sales figures for March come out tomorrow. Today, we have the latest inflation reading. This time, it's wholesale prices. Inflation for the producer price index decelerated sharply, just 2.7% in a year, using fresh numbers for March. Let's consult Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG. Morning.
Good morning.
So are we seeing this happening before our eyes? Finally, the rises in prices starting to moderate?
Well, they look like they're starting to moderate, and that's a good start. The bad news is the Federal Reserve's kind of said the quiet part out loud, and that is in the minutes to their last meeting. They basically said the staff has now expects a recession. And even though we knew the Fed was talking about that with the kind of increase in unemployment that they've been talking about, they now see a recession baked into the cake.
So if they're right, we're headed toward recession when, you think? 2023?
No, yeah, latter part of 2023. Our own analysis is you get something we call a slow session where things kind of stall out as the credit tightening that we've already got in the pipeline works its way through the economy. And that in some sense, we want to get rid of the inflation that affects everyone. Unemployment affects a few people, but unemployment is always painful.
Indeed. Diane Swonk, chief economist at KPMG. Thank you.
Thank you.
Delta Airlines stock down 1.5% now after it posted a loss for the winter quarter this morning, but said it sees no sign travel slowing down for the summer.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life.
Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Lawmakers in Texas are trying to figure out how to prevent another catastrophic failure of the state's power grid, like the one two winters ago. One idea is to build a new power plant or a set of them with state money, but a recent study shows that it would cost Texas 80% more than lawmakers are figuring. It's a problem for places across the country. Ali Budner has more on that.
Texas's winter storm Uri triggered a blackout of the state's power grid in 2021. More than a third of Texans lost power for days. Ed Herz is an energy fellow at the University of Houston.
The governor's own count is that 246 people died in the freeze of 2021 because they did not have electricity or heat.
Texas lawmakers are debating a bill that would fund several new natural gas plants to sit on the sidelines in case of crisis, sort of like a fleet of emergency generators. And Ed Herz is all for it.
The state desperately needs reliable generation to join the grid. It doesn't really matter how it happens.
Even, Herz says, with a price tag of $18 billion.
Texas went decades without spending money to maintain a reliable generation fleet. Now comes the payback, the catch-up.
Usually it's private companies that pay for new plants and sell the energy, but this would be taxpayers and ratepayers footing the bill.
We view that as a fundamental departure from a competitive electric market.
Michelle Richmond is executive director for the Texas Competitive Power Advocates, a trade association. She says the plan doesn't make sense and is kind of like buying a bunch of brand new cars
to keep in your garage just in case your main car breaks down catastrophically one day. That's inefficient and extremely expensive.
She says the private industry, fossil fuels and renewables alike, will have a harder time competing against a state-backed energy provider, and even existing power plants might be forced to retire early. Richmond says all that could make the power grid less reliable and not more.
The entire country is watching what's happening in Texas.
Everyone's kind of struggling with our climate's changing, their extremes.
Cyrus Reed is conservation director for the Lone Star chapter of the Sierra Club.
And how do we make sure there's enough juice on the system to meet people's needs?
With climate change wreaking havoc on weather patterns and grids across the country, meeting energy demand is going to get more challenging. Reed thinks having a backup power system is smart. It's just that this proposal is expensive and
it picks one technology, gas, which we believe is a technology that's on its way out.
Reed thinks the focus should be more on the demand side instead of on energy supply. In other words, conservation. Things like weatherizing homes and businesses to make them more energy efficient. I'm Ali Budner for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.